There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Speaking of reviews, can you count the seven sorrows of Mary, the prophecy of Simeon, the midnight flight into Egypt, the 3 days loss of the child Jesus in the temple? Those are from the joyful mysteries, and from the sorrowful, the fourth is the fourth station of the cross, the meeting of the Son and the Mother, the fifth, the crucifixion, the sixth, the taking down of Jesus from the cross, and the seventh, the burial of our Lord. Have you counted your own lately? Some people never seem to miss a day without doing so. We usually associate this devotion of the Sorrowful Mother with the sick and give a blessing as part of the prayers. And yet our Blessed Lord and Our Lady were never sick, as they say, a day in their lives. They had no original sin, and thus were not subject to its consequences. Although they felt and do, Our Lord and Our Lady, a very great compassion for the sick, the suffering, as well as for the poor. Poverty, money worries, that's the source of many sorrows for people. The Holy Family did not know this. Oh, they were extremely poor, and they shared freely what little they had with the poor. They were detached from the goods of this world. Our sorrows ultimately always come from sin. Yet our Lord and our Lady are sinless, yet how many sorrows are theirs? Jesus, the man of sorrows, and Our Lady with the seven swords in her heart. Now, sin is not about breaking a rule. Sin is all about the tragedy of separation, the sword and the sorrow of it, to be separated from God, from others, from oneself as well. Whether this separation or loss take the form of some abandonment or divorce or apostasy or falling away. And then finally, the seemingly ultimate loss would be that of death. Jesus was not subject to it, and yet he died to put me back together again. And Mary stood there bravely, not watching him die, but to die with him in soul, and to suffer the pain of more than 1,000 deaths, says St. Alphonsus. A mystical death, yet real, she stood next to the cross. Death, you might say, is a sacrament of the new order of things. You've got abortion now, and then growing cases and laws favoring euthanasia. And all of this death is welcomed and is planned and inflicted, even in its most gruesome details, as a rite. We rightly abhor such things, but we Catholics, how easily we forget the sorrows of death. Well, there are a few days of tears, no doubt, but the dead are soon forgotten. That's the truth of it. And even a first anniversary would pass without a mass. How wonderful, then, how welcome that in the silence of the canon, after Christ has come at the consecration, that there should be a remembrance, the memento of the dead. The priest signals it by making that sort of a gathering gesture, lifting his thoughts and prayers heavenward in recollection, slowly separating his hands and joining them again, as he says, memento etiam, Domine. Remember even now, O Lord. Doesn't matter how long ago it was. Remember. Thy servants and thy handmaids, who are gone before us with the sign of faith and sleep the sleep of peace. He joins his hands at these words so as to indicate peace and rest, and raises them to his face. His fingers are together, of course, after the consecration, and he bows his head and he prays for the dead, fixing his eyes on the sacred host before him on the altar. At the prayer for the living, the priest closes his eyes or just looks down for a moment, lest he should be distracted. But now he looks right at our Lord, the sacred host, and names some of the dead for whom he's been asked to pray or wishes to pray. He whispers their names or just mentally thinks of them. It's a beautiful part of the Mass to remember and to help our dead, isn't it? Though it's pathetic that we're asking God to remember our dead, even though God could not forget a single hair on our head. So this makes us remember how little we do remember our dead. A training priest is taught, when he's learning how to say Mass, he's taught, et tu memento ne memento fiat in momento, the Latin for, and you remember, Father, lest the memento should pass in a moment. There are too many to forget. Remember, Lord, I say then, even though I forget, I who once thought I could never forget, yet I do. But you, Lord, you're not like that. You are the good God, and it is left to us to feel the guilt of forgetting. Let no one be forgotten should be our prayer at every morning offering and at every Mass. Monsignor Knox says something else about this prayer. As he's gazing at the host, he thinks it's like looking into a window onto eternity. Remember last week, we talked about how at the end of the canon, when Father sees the outward appearances of creatures, of bread and wine, it makes him think of the creatures of the earth. Today, when the priest sees the sacred host, and knowing that there's something on the other side of it, it makes him think of a window onto eternity, beyond the appearances, the substance of our Lord's body and blood. We don't see him, but we know that he's there. And who's with him? Why, all of my own dear ones, for whom I'm praying, for whom the priest has been asked to pray, to help them heavenwards, unless they're already there. Then the prayers go to someone else. We pray for everybody. We Catholics sometimes think we're the deciders. I'm the decider, some president or another said. We don't get to decide if that soul is in heaven or in hell. Leave it alone. It is not for you. It is for you to pray. Who are we praying for? We're not praying for the dead. The Church, in the delicacy of her sentiments and her so strong faith, never once utters the D word, death, in this prayer. No, she prays for those, listen to it, who have gone before us, signed with the sign of faith. That's right, baptism. It's character. the resemblance to Christ stamped on our souls, and when we live and die this way, why then do we sleep the sleep of peace? The noise and the tumult of temptation of this life, they're done. The rest from this weary world is already, in a sense, won, for they are out of it. They're with God. And they are at peace. They're far from discord, this sinful world and all the rest. They're in a wonderful state, purgatory, I mean, because you don't pray for souls who are in heaven, you pray to them. It's a wonderful state. We can't comprehend it. I mean, the mixture of quiet joy in the midst of exquisite pain. Our guide to purgatory, St. Catherine of Genoa, assures us that suffering is not unhappiness. That may be new to you. Mary knew this to be true, says St. Pius X. Her soul was full of joy as she stood in grief at the foot of the cross. What do we ask for then when we pray for our dead, these souls still being purified? Well, that they should be taken to a place of refreshment because they're thirsty. They're so thirsty for God. And next, light. Simple thing, light. We take it for granted. All is darkness in purgatory. And thirdly, peace. How could they ever rest fully, perfectly in peace except in Christ? In the early centuries, that's how this prayer got started, there'd be a tablet of ivory with the names of the church benefactors upon it, and the deacon would read it aloud during the canon. If we did that still today, I'm thinking we would say, for Jack Grimes, and of course for Bernie Brueggemann, and then for that lady in upstate New York whose bequest enabled us to start building this church after we bought the property, and many, many others. For whom do we pray? Only those who are formally and officially Catholics in good standing, those who would be entitled, say, to a Catholic church burial. For all the rest, we pray for them, but we pray for them privately, the priest and the people both. But remember this, it is a great and a necessary work of charity. Never give up. Never stop praying for some poor soul's salvation, that at that last moment the grace would have been given them to convert. When the priest ends this prayer, the memento of the dead, he does something unusual. It's a little thing, of course. He says, through Christ our Lord, and then even though he has not said the holy name of Jesus, he bows his head. Why? It's the only time this occurs, because our Lord bowed his head when he died. The Gospels say, inclinato capite, tradit et spiritum, bowed his head and gave up the ghost. And then immediately his soul descended into hell, that part of hell we call the limbo of the fathers, to console the Old Testament saints. And then the idea is, as he's looking down, may the precious blood flow from this chalice, from this altar, down to purgatory to alleviate the poor souls there. Today's true American missionary hero is not a priest, he was a doctor, a layman who worked with the North American martyrs, René Goupil. He was a trained and up-to-date surgeon for 17th century France, but his hearing was very bad, so he couldn't become a Jesuit. But he helped out at an Indian hospital for a while in Quebec to save Indians who would otherwise be euthanized by their fellow savages. Then St. Isaac Jogues took him with him on a missionary trip, and they ran into the Mohawks, and they both of them ended up having some of their thumbs and fingers broken and chewed almost off. But still, this doctor performed surgery. And then once instinctively, he made the sign of the cross over a sick child, and the Indians thought he was casting a spell. And that night they came with their tomahawks, and he met his martyrdom. St. René Goupil is the patron saint of anesthesiologists, which is really a very delicate and an important work. Death, they say, is a lonely affair, but not for those who have the church for a mother. She looks that no one be forgotten. You will be prayed for after your death. But what a consolation as you are there on your cross, in your death agony, that Mary would be standing there next to you. She will come if you ask her. When? We do all day long, don't we? The words mean something. Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.